Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hi guys, Sarah here. Just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the links to Buy Me a Coffee page on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, our blog at www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com, or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Bianca.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm choking on my wine. I'm Amy.
Talented.
I meant to talk and realised I had a mouthful of wine. Just ended badly. Anyway, we are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast like millions of other people around the world while we're in lockdown. Yeah. Everybody's right? Doing it.
We are so original, people.
So original. Anyway, if you listen to the rest of this podcast, you'll realize why we are all sorts of original, and then you might decide never to listen to us again. Yeah. But still, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're currently free out of lockdown at the moment. Well, sort of. Sort of, but not really. Anyway, there's some crazy days to come, I can just imagine. I'll probably have another rant about lockdown at some stage during this podcast. But anyway, we take aim at a topic each week along with a bottle or three of wine, and that's just me. And we try to make some sense of it. And, yeah, what's wrong with Sarah, depending on what day it is.
Yeah.
All right, ladies, what are we drinking?
Well, I'm drinking the Mechanic Cab Sav.
Nap. Me too.
Well, I'm drinking a not-so-frozen Pepsi.
Oh, you're still on the frozen Pepsi style.
I'm still on the frozen. Well, it's not so frozen anymore, so I suppose it's just the Pepsi.
It's just a flat Pepsi now.
Yeah.
Well, it's just it's just the sea.
A Pepsi.
A frozy, if you will.
A frozy.
or a melty.
A melty.
Yes, belty.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right, Bianca, what's our topic for tonight?
Well, our topic tonight is TV shows that jumped the shark. I love this concept. I love this saying. And I love to dive into this. So let's go. The phrase jumping the shark was coined back in 1985, and I was three.
You weren't. Yeah, we're two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I'm not turning 40.
We keep telling you this. Listeners, you're not listening.
Listeners, I tell you the amount of times I think I'm turning 40 and I'm not. It's a real disappointment in my life.
And then she'll get to 40 and she'll be like, am I? You sure?
I just keep gaining years to my life. It's great, to be honest. Okay. Every now and again, I'm like, oh, I've got an extra year. Yes. Yeah. Anyway.
It's like Sarah. She's still 25. So.
That's right.
Yeah. I should have just stuck with that.
Yeah.
Like.
Never too late.
I think from about the age of 31, my dad said I was turning 36. Right up until I was turning 36. So maybe I should just stick with 36. Like, it sounds good. Anyway, yeah, Jumping the Shark, it was coined back in 85 by Sean Connolly. And Sean Connolly was John Haynes' roommate at the Mississippi University.
They're not words.
Yeah, that was not going to be a word. It was going to be Miss University of Unigan.
The Miss Diversity of Univegan.
Yep. Yep. That place. Yes, totally.
I personally went to a lot of Miss Universities, but anyway, yeah.
All right. So it happened when they were talking about their favorite television shows at the time, and they thought that these shows had gone downhill. Hayne described the term as a defining moment when, you know, from now on, it's all downhill. It will never be the same. And in 1997, Hayne created a website to publish a list of approximately 200 television shows and his arguments as to the moments each jumped the shark. The site became popular and grew with additional user contributed examples. So the actual phrase jump the shark was taken from an incident in an episode of Happy Days, which is season 5, episode 91. Back then?
91. Fuck, were they doing one a day? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, seasons used to go forever back then.
Jesus.
Yeah, right? So the episode is called Hollywood Part 3 and it was written by Fred Fox Jr. And it aired on September 20th, 1977. In the episode, the central characters visit Los Angeles, where water skiing Fonzie, played by Henry Winkler, for those who don't know, what rock are you being living under? So he answers a challenge to his bravery by wearing swim trunks and, get this, his trademark leather jacket. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course he was. And jumping over a confined shark. The stunt was created as a way to showcase Winkler's real-life water skiing skills.
Henry Winkler, you are a national, I say, universal treasure of a man. You are amazing.
A missiversal treasure, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and some more stuff I found was in 2008, Time magazine identified a term modeled after Jump the Shark called Nuke the Fridge.
What?
This is something I never heard of before. I literally just found this out, right? So this is specifically applicable to film. And the magazine defined the term to exhaust a Hollywood franchise with disappointing sequels.
Nuke the Fridge. That's so interesting. Where does that come from? Okay. Tell me.
So, Please tell me it's Indiana Jones.
It is. It comes from the scene in the fourth film, which is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So Indy survives an atomic bomb detonation by fitting himself into a lead-lined refrigerator to shield himself from the radiation. I remember this scene well.
Yeah.
The explosion annihilates its surroundings but sends the refrigerator flying sufficiently distant for the protagonist to escape unhurt, right? So the scene is criticized as being scientifically implausible. It's a fucking Indiana Jones movie. He swung across a river on a fucking snake. I'm sorry. And the fridge is your problem?
This is where Indiana Jones fucking loses me. Like, I am a James Bond fan, so there is so much impossible shit that goes on through all of those movies. Indiana Jones loses me, and now I get that Nick the Fridge. Yes, and I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. So within 2 days of the film's premiere, the phrase Nick the Fridge went viral. And what I also read, Spielberg, he was like, I am so happy to be part of a cultural phenomenon. He loves it. He loves the term nuke the fridge.
Does Spielberg understand that he's part of many cultural phenomenons that go viral, like, all the time? Does he not understand that?
Yeah, but he just loves it. Just like, bring it on. Yeah.
Any publicity is good publicity. So the follow-up to this episode will be called Nuke the Fridge. Look out for it, people. It's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we definitely need to do a Nuke the Fridge. But I found another one. So this phrase is growing the beard. So this is the opposite of jumping the shark. This is when a show dramatically improves in quality. And the term comes from Star Trek The Next Generation.
I hate beards. I was going totally the other direction. Like, you were just getting boring and started to like things that everybody else has liked for 30 years. What are you, some sort of hipster? Grow up. Sorry, that was my rant.
No, the character, William Riker, he was clean shaven for the first season but grew a beard before the second. And so from the second season onwards, he had a beard and the show got better. So therefore, it's considered to be better in terms of storytelling. You're growing a beard.
Yeah, no, I hate growing the beard, right. But I love Nick the Fridge. Okay, yeah.
So with that etymology out the way, here are my jump the shark shows. So first one, all right, listeners, if there is a TV show I could rewatch with zero knowledge of what was coming up, just reliving like all the characters and their lives and the journeys they go on, the first time it would be Battlestar Galactica. Right?
I've not seen it.
But
no, I haven't seen it.
It jumped the shark, and here's why.
Was this space sharks, or was that a different movie you guys watched?
Ooh, is there space sharks? Sarah, get on now, Google it.
Okay.
I feel like it fits in well with, like, flying sharks and ghost sharks. Yeah. Anyway, so Battlestar Galactica, right, the series took things too far in the finale of the third season, okay? In the episode, the identity of the final five Cylons is revealed. And I found it to be less than a satisfying experience, right? That the whole show was building up that you didn't know who the Cylons were. They're fracking toasters, right? You don't know who they are. And then it's revealed. Oh, and it was cheesy. And it completely destroyed prior plot lines, and I'm like, how do they even make these things? Like, there was things that were supposed to happen. You could, you know how you can see a character go on, especially with these long series, you know that a certain character is going to go off to explore another planet, or, you know, do things like that, you know? Well, that's not going to happen now because they're a Cylon. So what was the point in building that character that way?
But this is my problem with sci-fi and sci-fi series specifically, is for a bunch of nerds, they really can't get a plot line together. It really frustrates me in like what you've just described, where they go, okay, we're going to find out who the secret blah, blah, blah was.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and oh my God, it's this dude. And you're just like, that doesn't fit with anything that we've just seen. It doesn't make any fucking sense. And I can point out several times where this doesn't make sense. This is why you see all those all that footage of nerds at Comic-Con asking questions to actors. Actors, yes. Oh, for fuck's sakes, nerds, stop asking questions of actors. They don't know. The words, they say them, and they get paid a lot of money. They don't fucking question it. I understand that. Yeah, so don't ask them questions. Ask the writers. What the fuck were you doing? Where were you? What was going on? Do you not understand? And I just don't understand how they keep doing this with these freaking sci-fi series. It caves my face in. I can't.
Yeah, I know. I feel you. And, like, it was such a good series. Like, it hooked me, got me in, and I have watched the whole thing, and I've watched it twice. It's long. And it feels long, but it's good. Oh, man, the drama. I cried. I laughed. And, like, yeah, the whole lead-up to finding out who the dreaded Cylons were was intense at times. Like, and for them to play it off like that is just, I don't know. I was disappointed. So, for me, definitely jump the shark. If you feel differently, please write into us.
Absolutely.
Okay. So my second show, I only had three. So my second one is The Office. I love this show. I love this show so much. I just can watch it over and over again.
I've recently watched it all from start to finish.
Yes. Yeah,
for the first time.
So some fans correlate the decline of the of this comedy classic to the marriage of Jim and Pam, which occurs in the sixth season. I wholeheartedly actually agree with that.
I don't. I actually think it's better that they're married because the back and forth will they won't, they drove me insane.
I loved it.
I hate it.
However, okay, the shark wasn't officially jumped for me until Michael Scott, played by Steve Carell, departed in the episode Goodbye Michael from after the following season. He did make a brief appearance in the season finale. But, yeah, once Michael was gone, the show really wasn't the show anymore.
It wasn't, but I'm going to say that I really liked the character that took over sort of Michael's position, and I saw so much more about the other characters, and I understood how conditioned they were to someone who was a nice dude but a shit boss. He is a shit boss. In fact, a lot of the time he wasn't even a nice dude. Like, he was just shit. And they could, like, if you want an example of Stockholm Syndrome, it's these people. They were so conditioned into acting like a bunch of fucking idiots that that's how they continued to act. It didn't get any better. It should have. But it didn't.
It didn't. Yeah. No. It just jumped the shark. It was done. Michael left and that should have been the end.
I was fine with the rest of it. I was fine with everything that happened afterwards. I don't think Michael was pivotal to it. But, yeah, I can see what you're saying, though.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely, like, for me, it jumped the shark at that point. It wasn't going to get any better than where it was at the start. It definitely wasn't growing a beard. Let's just put it that way.
Stop saying it. It's not a thing.
Not trying to make fetch happen.
We're not doing it. Stop making fetch happen.
So my third and final one for tonight, True Blood.
Oh,
totally disagree. Anyway, go.
I agree.
All right. The glory of True Blood always lived in the lines of its foremost badass characters. So Eric, Lafayette, and Pam. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yep.
So, midway through series 4, suddenly Lala has PTSD, Pam is sad, and his skin is terrible. Amen, sister, right now.
Lockdown will do that to a bitch.
Oh, my allergies are really bad, listeners. And Eric is doing some kind of Tara from season 4 Buffy impression. Like... Like, seriously.
I've never heard it coined that way, but man, that's perfect.
It's so true, though. So true. this explosive, like, sexual tension that Eric and Sookie had built up over the years fizzled out to a moment that was soft focused, Bambi and Narnia sex. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. It was not what we were expecting, unless you read the books and you were totally expecting it and it was fine.
Yeah, but, that was me. I read the books. So I'm ready for it.
Right. Realistically, for me, like, it jumped the shark when Bill became Billith.
Oh, God.
Season
yes.
5 finale.
Yeah. That for me, yeah. Once I, like, because. If you've ever read the books, and if you think True Blood's full on, read the books. Oh, wow. Yeah, you don't know what full on is until you've read the books.
Yeah. So, I can't read the books. The language really, really fucked with my head.
Mate, I read your blog every week, and yeah, well, same.
Yeah, well, look, if they didn't write everything the way they say it, I would have been fine.
But the thing that with, like, at this point, so they had to rewrite some of the things for the series to sort of make it more palatable, I suppose, for people that were watching the series. I get that. But when this turn came, this was so off what we were expecting from the books. I like True Blood all the way through. I actually really liked it. I liked the way that ended. I didn't like the way the books ended, and it was different. So I actually preferred how it ended on the show opposed to the books. So I was actually okay walking away from True Blood. I was actually totally fine. Yeah. But yes, the Phyllis situation. Oh, yeah, that was stupid.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah, like every time now it's been done and dusted for many years now. So every time that I go to watch it, I get to season six and I'm done. I watch Bill become Billith and I'm like, and I'm done. I will go back to season one, episode one. And have myself a merry old time. So, yes, that, I probably could bang on about more shows if I have a real good think about it. But off the top of my head, I just thought I'll just stick to three just in case. So that's all I have for you. And I have to edit. So, yeah, nah. Yeah. So who's up next? Sarah. Buddy.
Yeah. So this week I've decided to do a carry-on from the music from last week. We're doing musical episodes.
Sarah.
Yeah.
It's not the first time I've muttered that phrase, and it's not gonna be the last.
Probably not. I, for one, find it very hard to watch musical episodes. They tend to be quite cringy.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And I'll also mention I haven't watched all of the episodes I'm going to mention.
Okay.
I have watched a few, but I have not watched all of them.
Is it because you've been watching the show and you've actively gone, oh, God, no, this is a musical one, I'm not watching it?
No, it's because I don't watch all of these shows. So, let me start off with one of Amy's favourite TV shows, Passions.
They have a musical episode?
I imagine they would.
Now, I couldn't find the entire episode to watch, unfortunately. I did try.
Because if you're talking about shows that jump a shark, literally jump a shark the first episode. Like, literally.
Yeah, I know.
I reckon it grew a beard. Hey, that just kept on going.
Stop trying to make that work.
Well, I watched a little bit that I found on YouTube. So the episode is actually a take on Wicked.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh,
what?
Yep.
Oh, no.
And it follows.
After the news that was just dropped today and I watched him in Wicked. What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Okay. So it actually tells the story of Tabitha when she was younger.
Of course.
Yeah. From what I watched, I was actually kind of shocked. It wasn't terrible singing.
Was it the same people from Passions, though, or was it just randoms? Because it says it's Tabitha from when she was younger. So did they get, like, a cast that could sing, or?
I reckon that's what would have happened.
Okay. Yeah.
Because, I haven't watched Passions really. So.
You used to when we were at uni, but I was only because I made it.
Because you made me, and was I really paying attention? Props not.
No, you're probably just wishing you could watch Lord of the Rings for the 10th millionth time.
Exactly.
Because
I didn't
know. I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so if you look it up, I suggest you do because, wow.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah. So, the second one, The Flash, season 3, episode 17. This is a Flash Supergirl crossover, and it starts off with Barry sitting on the couch watching Singing in the Rain as he did with his mum as a kid. When he was feeling upset. So because of the issues that have been going on in the show, this is what he was doing to make himself feel better. Because, you know, everything's better in musicals.
Yeah.
I agree, because Singing in the Rain is actually one of my favourite musicals.
You still got to come around and make me watch it too.
Yeah, I will. Because, it is so good. So he gets a call from the lab and he goes, Supergirl's brought in unconscious. And then next thing, Arando appears in the lab. Barry goes to chase him down. Guy does something to him. And Barry wakes up in a 1920s bar.
Oh, God. With time travel and a musical episode. Bye.
Yeah, well, he wakes up in this 1920s bar with Supergirl, who is on stage singing Moon River. It wasn't bad, I'll admit that. So it turns out that they both like musicals, and in order to get out of this little reality that they're in, they have to follow the plot. The plot was like a Romeo and Juliet meets West Side Story kind of thing, which West Side Story is very much a Romeo and Juliet thing anyway. So
I was going to say, hang on a minute, West Side Story is Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah. So it's very much West Side Story. Most of the cast sings in it, like the John Barrowman. I love him so much. Torchwood.
Yeah. Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
The face of Bo.
Yes. Oh, so adorable.
Oh, God. How much did that blow your mind when that was fucking just dropped?
Oh, I know, right?
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Kind of broke my heart, really.
Yeah.
Like, how does that turn into that? Oh, fuck. What? No.
Yeah. How old was he? Oh, my God. How long has he lived? Oh,
so many.
The things he would have seen. The dresses he would have worn. Oh.
Yep.
Yep.
So he sings in it, but we all know he can sing. Yep. So he was amazing. Jesse L. Martin, who plays Captain Joe West, and Victor Garber, who plays Dr. Martin Stein, they're professional singers. They've been doing theatre for years. So when they start singing, you can fucking tell. It was actually really good. I would recommend people to watch this episode.
Hmm.
It was actually a really good episode.
So it didn't jump the shark, or is this where they've jumped the shark and they've come off the other side and people thought it was amazing?
It's a little bit of both. It could go either way depending on how you feel.
Okay.
It jumps the shark or it grows a beard. It just depends.
Yeah. Stop trying to make it work.
So, yeah, we're jumping sharks and we're growing beards here, people.
You
yeah,
too.
Love it.
I feel Stop. Like I'm growing a beard. I really need to get some laser surgery on that. Anyway.
I know, right? I've got a few coming in. It's so annoying.
Yeah. I'll laser both of you right now if you let me.
No. Okay,
I just get better.
It only gets better from there. So next up we have Lucifer, season 5, episode 10.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how I feel about this episode.
Neither do I. Let's download.
So, look. Lucifer was heading towards a downer. I find with a lot of shows that do musicals, it's when they're hitting that low stage and they're trying.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to bring it back.
Yeah.
So some work, some don't. And I should also mention most musicals are compared to the Buffy episode, which I will get to in a bit.
Good.
So all of them seem to be compared to Buffy.
Okay, okay.
So this one was actually compared to as a success rather than a failure from the reviews I saw, but I don't know how I feel. I love Tom Ellis.
Nice.
He's just a beautiful man.
I love Lucifer too because it's like if Russell Brand was like on CSI, that's how I feel about the show.
Fair enough. And yeah, so Tom Ellis, who is Lucifer, has an amazing voice.
He's been on stage. He's done heaps of stuff. Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah. So the plot line for this is that they're called to investigate the murder of a high school football coach. And in the background, like the actual storyline, they're trying to work through like Lucifer's daddy issues because his dad's there and...
It's literally the start of every fucking Lucifer episode. Yeah. There's a murder and he's working through his daddy issues.
Yeah, well, this time, his daddy is literally there next to him. True. So.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. Yeah, and he feels like he doesn't deserve love or to be loved and blah, blah, blah. And everyone else is working through their issues, but they're doing it through song.
Okay.
Yeah.
They open with Another One Bites the Dust.
Yeah.
And
so none of the songs are original, but they are a mix of, you know, classics from Queen to Les Miserables.
Oh.
So do you want to know what I heard about this episode? Is Tom Ellis is a producer on that show now, and he was desperate to sing that song he sings at the end from Les Mis. Desperate.
Oh, really?
To sing it on
not
the show.
Not Wicked Game, because he did a sexy-ass rendition of that song.
Nope. No. He wanted to do this song, and they couldn't find a way to work it in, so they decided to do a musical episode. What's shit about this episode is that the lead character, Chloe Decker, she doesn't sing in any of
this. Could be a good reason for that.
Well, I've read a lot about this because I was just like, but why? Because there is a chick, Amy Garcia, who was also in Dexter. She plays lab assistant. What's her name?
Allie,
I think, yeah. So she actually does have a good voice, but at the start when it breaks out into Another One Bites the Dust, terrible. Her voice does not fit that song. It's horrific. And one of the big breakouts of this, and what a lot of people really liked, was the fact that there's another character who actually sings a little bit, and he has a song to himself, and he's not a singer. In fact, he kind of bumbles his way through this, but he does it and he owns it. It's not perfect. And that's the thing, is that with this particular musical episode, they don't sound polished. They don't sound beautiful. In fact, they kind of sound a bit shit. Amy Garcia rectifies herself a little bit, though, in a later episode where she sings Amazing Grace with Tom Ellis. And, yeah, you can tell she actually can sing. But, yeah, it's a bit it's interesting. And the fact that the other lead doesn't want to play this game, I'm just like, Tom Ellis, are you, like, an asshole and you just forced everybody to do this? I don't know. I was mixed with this. I didn't know how to feel.
I just didn't know how I felt just with the entire episode.
Yeah. It's been done, mate. It's been done. Did you really need to?
I'm just happy if he sings one song at the end of a fucking episode.
Oh. I'm just happy if he just wanders around on screen. I really don't care.
Especially
love him.
He's half naked.
He's so hot. I just don't care what he does. Yeah.
All right. Next one is Scrubs. Now, I actually haven't seen this episode, Bianca. Same. I know you have several times.
Yes.
So I'm just going to do a little quick thing. If you want to put anything in, just let me know.
I'll hold my finger.
The episode is about a patient who starts hearing everyone's speech as singing.
Maybe I have seen this, actually.
Yeah. So as you can guess, there's a lot of emotional conflicts and personal monologues that are being performed musically during this. Until, of course, the patient is diagnosed and they've helped the patient. That's about as much as I know what happens.
Okay, I'm going to go back to a previous episode. So, Scrubs is a very musical show, and the soundtrack is one of the best of any TV show ever.
Wait, there's a soundtrack?
I didn't know
that. Music is a massive part of it. I already talked about this. Anyway.
Sarah and I weren't listening.
Never listening.
I'm going to stand by my words. This is a terrible episode, and every single Scrubs fan, like, if you go onto the Scrubs fan groups on Facebook, I'm there. Hi. We all hate it. We all hate it. It's universally hated, this episode. It's terrible. Not that the singing's terrible. The singing is fine. I mean, it's not, you know, it doesn't hurt your ears. Like, ooh, hey, that note. No, they shouldn't have attempted that. No, it's fine. It's perfectly fine in that respect. It's just a terrible episode. Skip it. Don't need to watch it. Won't hurt anything if you don't watch it. Yeah. I don't think the show actually jumped the shark at this point, because when, you know, go back, listen to season finales, and I'll tell you what, the season finale was fucking phenomenal. It grew a beard. It did. Like, it didn't don't jump a shark. It grew a beard and fucking moved on with its life after this, I tell you. Oh, actually, John Dorian, JD, did grow a beard after this season. So, you know. Of course. Yeah.
He was obviously, like, in his never nude phase. So, yeah. Anyway.
It wasn't a beard. It was like a 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah, which he was calling a beard, and then everyone was giving him shit for it, which was great because it was mostly Dr. Cox, and I love him.
I actually really enjoyed Scrubs up until probably, I don't know, there's like 45 seasons. So
there's nine.
Yeah, maybe five, like halfway through.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know what grated on my nerves, but I think I actually have seen this episode, this musical episode now.
Yeah, season five.
Yeah, and I think this was one of the things that really did turn it off for me, and I think I was done. I was done with the repeating scripts. I was done with the repeating jokes. I was done with the characters, the main characters that just drove me insane. And yeah, I was sort of done by this stage. So
I know, yeah. Like the thing with Scrubs is it's actually one of the most medically accurate shows.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, compared to like ER or Grey's Anatomy or any of those, the actual terminology, usage, tools, you know, like that, everything to do around the hospital is way more accurate than any of the others. And it's a fucking comedy.
I totally agree with that. And yeah. I don't disagree with that. The thing that actually really turned me off Scrubs, actually, I can say the pivotal moment that turned me off Scrubs was, I think, what's JD's best mate's name?
Turk.
Turk, yeah. So Turk's with the nurse, and I think they've just found out she's pregnant or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And they're sitting in the park, and they're sitting on a park bench. And I think Turk's just learned that he's going to be a father. So he's watching kids on swings and stuff like that, and he, like being a surgeon, he's overly protective. He's like, oh, my God, I can't believe the mother's letting him do that, blah, 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 blah. And the girlfriend, whatever her name is, turns around And she says, Turk, this is our park time. This is us time. Why won't you just stroke my hair and tell me I'm pretty? And I'm just like, I'm done. I'm sorry, I'm done. This is ridiculous. I'm sorry, done with the show.
Yeah, everyone hates Carla.
And
that's the thing too. You go into the Scrubs group, hate this episode. Most people hate Carla. She's just so needy and so self-centered.
Why won't you stroke my hair and tell me I'm pretty? Yeah. Oh, my God. He's just found out he's going to be a father. He's a surgeon, and he's critically going through kids in a fucking playground. I've done the same, and I'm not a surgeon. I am watching kids, and I'm just like, where the fuck is your parent? Where? I would never let my kid do that in a million years. Hey, Amy, where's your kid? Oh, I fucking know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, back on topic.
Yes.
Just a couple of quick mentions of other shows that have done musical episodes that I feel, you know, may not have done so well. Once Upon a Time.
Never watched it.
Yeah, that came up a bit, but I haven't seen it, so I didn't.
I've watched the first season, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Community.
Which I loved. I haven't watched all of it. Because I got to a point, again, like Scrubs, where I'm just like, yeah, I'm done. I don't necessarily think that this, like, might have, well, actually probably was fueled by the, I can't remember the character's name, but he's, what's his name, Childish Gambino? He plays, he's one of the characters in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Futurama.
His career.
Oh, I don't remember that episode.
Yeah, apparently Futurama did a musical episode.
Again, the voice of Leela, what's her name? Oh, I can't remember. She's
Peggy Bundy, yeah.
Yeah, Peggy Bundy. Her name is Peggy Bundy.
Katie Segal.
Yeah,
Katie Segal.
No, it's Peggy Bundy. Yeah, Peggy Bundy was also in Sons of Anarchy, and she sang a couple of the title tracks to the episodes, and I feel like maybe it was her musical influence that might have pushed that one.
And lastly, Xena Warrior Princess.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Xena had her own musical episode. I believe they ended up in like a, I think it was like a parallel universe or.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely reality. Jumping a shark.
Yeah.
That show jumped so many sharks. Like, it should have just been called literally. The show that jumps the shark. Yeah.
Well, it was something to do with Xena and Gabrielle having a bit of a hissy, I think, over who killed whose daughter. I don't know.
Well, that happens, you know. Yes. So.
It was something weird. But lastly, I will talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Totally not going to interrupt until you finished all your notes, okay?
Okay. Yeah. So, season 6, episode 7. Oh, dear God, this episode was so hard to watch. But did I love it? Yes. Yes, I did. Did I cringe? Yes. Yes, I did. So, as I said earlier, this is the musical episode that all other musical episodes are compared to. Why? I don't know. Maybe because it was a good episode compared to, like, a lot of other ones. Don't know.
Yeah.
But so the intro starts and you can clearly tell it's fucking different.
Yeah.
It goes straight into that weird feeling that, oh, my God, they're about to sing.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, God, why? Yeah. You just sit there and go, oh, no, please don't do this to me. And then they start and you're like, oh, should I turn this off? I should turn this off. Do I need to watch this episode? They won't have anything interesting in this episode. But, yeah, so they're aware that they're singing and it feels natural. But then afterwards they're like, that was strange. Why did I just sing that? But, you know, all the songs are about their inner thoughts and feelings. And their little deep secrets that they don't want anyone to know. But, of course, there is always a downside, as people seem to dance themselves to death, so that they're spontaneously combusting. So it's all fun and games until someone burns up.
Yeah.
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 It's all fun and games until someone's on fire. We've played this many a times.
Many a times. So, during the episode, Dawn is kidnapped by the demon who is causing said musical influence, and he is wearing a zoot suit.
I love a zoot suit.
Yeah. This one changes colour, so it starts off as red and ends up as blue. I'm like, yes, I love a suit that changes colour. He has the best song. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's because he's got that old kind of rhythm to him. So through the episode, although there is serious things happening, like the topics that they're singing about are quite serious, it's still got that comedy side to it.
Yeah.
The fact that they're fucking singing it, for one. Anthony Stewart Head, who has been in many, many things, he plays Giles. I love his singing.
He's amazing.
So amazing. Slightly hot.
Was that musical movie I watched? Oh, freaking, he was one of the main characters. Oh. I have
no idea.
Oh, God, now it's going to, I'm going to have to Google it.
Okay, you Google that. Spike also doesn't disappoint. Although he's not a great singer, his songs are more entertaining. Very much my style. The song the demon sings, Once More With Feeling, which is in fact the title of the episode, I would have to say it's the best song out of the whole episode, and it only goes for a short bit. I think that's also why I like it so much, because they don't drag it on.
Yeah.
Just quickly to comment on what you've said. So, yeah, it's a bit awkward.
It's all awkward, the way through. All the way through.
However, what is awesome about this, I don't love this episode, but I don't hate it either. What's really awesome is the fact that they've captured in song, so it's almost like, like a musical number, really, in any sort of musical. Like the song that Xander and what's her name?
Anya
do. About the fact that they don't really know whether they should be getting married and they're just going to keep plodding along. It's brilliant. Yeah. It makes so much sense.
My favorite is Tara. You know, I'm under your spell. And
cringes so much.
It gives me so much feelings.
Oh, God.
There's so much. And then at the end, and like Buffy's singing, and she's singing to Willow, and she goes, I think I was in heaven.
Yeah.
And oh, that was like, sounds terrible. Fuck. Yes, it's terrible.
Oh, but so terrible.
How she sings that, terrible. Sorry, Sarah Michelle Gellar, we love you. We love you so much.
So much we love you, but that.
Your voice doesn't reach what needed to be done there. Anyway, but yeah, all of a sudden when Willow realizes, fuck, maybe I fucked up here. I don't know what's happened. Yeah, that's good. Like, they're actually doing something in this particular episode that they haven't done in many musical episodes of shows, where they actually have a point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is the problem with musical episodes, is often this is so far removed from the plot line of what the season is going with. It's almost like its own standalone episode. You can watch this episode and not watch anything else. This is so different.
Everything that they sing about, all their inner thoughts and their feelings, it's all related to what's going on with the storyline. It's not just filler.
No.
Yeah.
So this one, in a way, as cringy as it was okay. Spike, or the James, what's his name? I can't remember his last name.
No.
John Marston? Yeah.
James Marston, yeah.
He actually does sing in a band. I feel like that, and I've listened to some of his songs, and I don't think that this was written for him. And it's really sad because I feel like he would have done better with other songs. Anthony Stewart Head, he's, again, like you guys said, amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Behind Blue Eyes was a terrible song for him to sing. I don't know why they picked this song, and I don't know why Limp Bizkit decided that they were going to try and hijack all of this.
It was amazing when he did Behind Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
He mentioned several times in several episodes that he's a Who fan.
I know. I just feel like that there would have been something better because his vocal range is good, but I feel like there was better songs that he could have sang. I don't know. Like, just throwing it out there. An original song probably would have been good too. Yeah. I don't know.
Blue Eyes was perfect.
I'm not 100%.
Yeah. And this episode was absolutely, anyway, this episode was perfect.
I'm not going to say it was perfect, but I definitely say that it does not necessarily jump the shark because it had a point. And that's the whole thing. What's the point in the episode? You're singing and you're dancing. What? Okay, cool. Next.
Yeah.
This one had a point.
Yeah.
I like it.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I feel like the show kind of went downhill after. Really.
Yeah, but that was for other reasons.
Yeah, but that's the thing. When ratings start going down, they need something to bring it up. And most people will do a musical episode. Especially that's what I find.
Half of the cast can hold can actually hold a tune. So James Masters, Anthony Stewart Head, the chick that plays Tara, they can all hold a tune. So why not?
Yeah. Well, that's my topic, Amy.
All right. Well, tonight I'm going to talk about one TV show. I have many that I feel like jump the shark and fits the brief, but I'm just going to talk about this one because I haven't talked about this particular show in other episodes, and we've talked about TV shows many a times. So I started out watching Weeds on a whim. I feel like I'd come home at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I got up at 6, don't know why. Just felt like watching TV in bed and eating breakfast in bed. And I got onto Weeds and just started binging it out of bed because that's what I did when I didn't have children. So, yeah, awesome. Yeah, the idea of the show seemed interesting. You had this middle-aged woman, Nancy, who had just lost her husband. She had two kids, so one preteen, one teenager, both boys, who were grieving the loss of their father. And they live in fuck knows where, suburbia, somewhere, and they were just trying to survive. In fact, the opening title of the song, or the opening theme music, is about how all the houses in the suburbs look the same.
Yeah.
And everyone in them is just trying to live this ideal American suburbia life. That's what they were trying to do. Yeah. So, yeah, Little Boxes is what it's called. And, yeah, it's Bianca and I sing it all the time when we're talking about places in Melbourne particularly that are basically like Stafford We've talked about this in previous episodes. Yeah, it's basically what it is. So, enter Andy, Nancy's brother-in-law, brother to her recently deceased husband. Now, Andy has good intentions. He does. He's a good guy. He moved in with Nancy to try and help her raise her kids and keep the roof over her head, but he's hopeless, doesn't have a job. He's kind of like the third kid that she didn't really want. So, yeah, it's just hard. So, yeah, he soon finds out that Nancy's actually been getting by selling weed. Yeah, to local bored adults, mainly parents of her kids' friends. Yeah. Nancy also has a frenemy. Her name is Cecilia. Yeah. Who's your picture-perfect suburban housewife. Cecilia actually is, throughout this, my favourite character. I love her. I love her so much. She is the best. She and Andy are the only reasons why I hung around on this show for so long. So for the first 2 to 3 seasons, Nancy gets herself in all sorts of hijinks. And for the most part, they're pretty funny.
Yeah.
Season 1, season 2, season 3. Funny. Yeah.
Yes.
And the hijinks that happen to me are just like, oh, God. And there's a lot of, relatable parent drama. So should I let my teenage kids sleep with their boyfriend / girlfriend under my roof, et cetera, et cetera? There's a lot of that going on. It's totally relatable, even though she's, this drug dealer on the side. Yeah. It's actually really relatable, and I really enjoyed it. After season 3, it jumps a shark.
Yeah.
It was done.
Uh-huh.
Season 4, Nancy has moved the entire family to a new neighborhood because of an accidental fire that wiped out their old neighborhood. And, yeah, it was drug-related. I'm just going to say that. I'm not going to get into it, but, yeah, that's what happened. Yeah. So in season 4, Nancy has a new boss who is a Mexican drug kingpin, and he's also the mayor of Tijuana. Yep, she has a baby with him. But then the family ends up on the run after the youngest son kills a woman. She had something to do with the kingpin, I think. Yeah, he kills her with a croquet mallet.
Yeah.
It's 14 at the time. It's a bit insane. The whole time things are getting more and more insane. In the end, Nancy ends up turning herself into authorities and the kingpin in order to make sure that her family is not going to get is not going to end up dead at the hand of these drug lords. That's what happens. Yeah. But of course, doesn't stop there. Nope. After Nancy is released from prison, despite her brother-in-law trying to hold the family together and raise Nancy's new baby, she spends most of the time selfishly getting into more and more crazy situations. In the end, her brother-in-law, who's stuck by her the whole time, and her two elder sons want nothing to do with her. Nothing. I've not seen the last 2 seasons of Weeds because, for me, the show ended at the end of season 3. The first 3 seasons.
I've watched bits and pieces of season 4. Only because, it was happened to be on Foxtel. And so I just I'll watch some Weeds. Cool. It's on. And it's not like nowadays when you can go box sets or whatever and go from the start, so it just happened to be a random episode. So I started following it from season 4 just randomly and was like, what the fuck is going on? Because I'd watched 1 through 3, loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I remember speaking to you like, what's going on with Sila? Like, what's the fuck?
Sila, I have a love-hate relationship with him. And the thing is, he's the eldest son. Yeah. And you just have this feeling of, oh, mate, I feel how fucked up you are internally, but also get your shit together.
Yeah.
There's this mix for me with Silas, and I can't. Yeah, it's hard. So, yeah, I haven't seen the last 3 seasons because I really can't. The first 3 seasons had plot twists, which were sometimes a bit shocking, and if I'm being honest, they were a little bit shocking. However, season 4, I was getting over it. The show had lost its charm. This was a show about a widower who was selling pot. It was illegal back then. So for our American friends, like our Australian friends will understand, and many places in the world will understand it's illegal. However, for our American friends, it was illegal at this point when I was watching Weeds. Mm. So, I mean, trying to watch it now, like for Americans, is a little bit antiquated now. So it's just like it's kind of something that is, it's like high drinks that wouldn't happen anymore. So it's hard to relate. Whereas when I was watching it, it was still illegal. So, yeah, she was selling pot just to get by. And there was also, like, having to deal with her, like, kind of hopeless brother-in-law who was trying to, quote-unquote, help. Yeah. And her kids and stuff like that. It was relatable. And the hijinks were comical. But after she got involved with the drug kingpin, it just lost me. It wasn't funny anymore. It was not relatable. I kept, like, I really did keep trying to like get into the show and try to understand it, and I couldn't relate with her anymore. But yeah, I kept trying, I kept going, and in the end I couldn't deal with Nancy anymore. She became selfish and her problems were all over the top, and they were all self-created, and I was done. And at that point in my life, there was enough train wrecks going on, I just couldn't simply watch one for entertainment value.
Yeah,
I just stopped, and I was just at the point where I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that's done. So, yeah, Weeds for me. Weeds was a big one that jumped the shark, and, yeah, I was done. Yeah. All right, guys, so let's wrap this up. I have had so much fun researching this topic, as I did with other topics over the last few weeks. And, yes, Bianca's half-baked ideas have been hilarious. Yeah, especially when we all run off like the proverbial cats in different directions. Yeah. It would be easier if somebody else told us what to do. Yeah, that would be better. Yeah.
Help us.
Yes. Yes, please. Like, topic. Yeah. Specifically what you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
Don't just give us a vague, like, you know, that
I will misunderstand specific. What you want, and I will do something completely different.
Exactly.
And then we'll have to drag Bianca's daughter onto the episode, and, you know, it all just gets fuck up from there. So, yeah. So, look, if you've got topic suggestions, please hit us up. We have got Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, TikTok, you name it, we're on there. Please hit us up. Otherwise, you can email us at FridayNightWineFight@gmail.com. To everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time in listening to our utter rubbish. We hope that you have found it entertaining and are not using any of the facts discussed in this recording to make decisions in whether you're going to jump a shark. That was not what this was about. Stop it. It was about TV shows that jumped a shark, not actual people that jump sharks. Don't do that. On our guidance, anyway. And if you do, send us the video because we'd love to see it.
Yeah. So.
That would be amazing.
Or if you'd like us to talk about TV shows that grew a beard.
Yes, definitely.
Mm. Yes.
I am putting an end to that right now.
I'm editing the episode, so it's all staying in.
I'm going to kill you. So.
Well, on that note, peace out, people.
Thanks, guys.